the things that we've been doing at 11 o'clock have an intention. Dusty's already mentioned, Dane's already mentioned what's going on at 9:30 the last several weeks. And honestly, what we've been trying to do at 11 o'clock is to complement what we do at 9:30. Most of the time, it's the other way around. We believe that strongly, that God is driving us back to examine who we are, who He's made us to be. So today I get a chance to kind of piggyback on what Dusty talked about at 9:30 today. Those of you who are here at 9:30, you're going to kind of hear the places where there's some connection. And the rest of you, you're just going to get to hear something that is going to hopefully go right to your heart. Let's start with a prayer. Lord God, we are here today. You have gathered us to this place to hear from you and to meet with you. Lord, you know and you see clearly each one of our hearts. And today, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be receptive to you, that, Lord, there wouldn't be anything between us other than your love and your grace and your mercy. Let us be open to what you say. I ask this in Jesus' name. All of us have secrets. There are things in your life from your past that you don't want anybody to know. There are things from my life and my past that I don't want anybody to know. There are things in our lives today as we sit here gathered together as the people of God that are in our lives, and we don't want anybody to know. Many of us today are struggling because we're trying to hide behind a mask. It's not what we were made for. It's not God's plan for us. He didn't make us to carry the loads that we're trying to carry. It saddens God. It grieves His heart deeply to watch you and me every single day, and especially whenever we're gathered to be His people, to know that we're carrying on a self-deception of religion and self-righteousness. Not what He made us for. Today, as we get started, I want to do something a little different. What I've done is, instead of reading the passage that we're going to be looking at today, that's going to be our foundation for what we're going to share, I'm going to take a clip from the movie we call the Jesus movie. And I'm going to let someone who's portraying Jesus do the storytelling. So John, if you would cue up, this is from Luke chapter 18. Let's act like we're listening to Jesus for a few minutes.
Once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, "I thank you, God, that I am not greedy or dishonest or an adulterer like everybody else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week, and I give you one-tenth of all my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his face to heaven, but beat upon his breast and said, "God, have pity on me, a sinner." I tell you, the tax collector, not the Pharisee, was in the right with God when he went home. For the man who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
I'll go ahead and tell you. The foundational idea of this message comes down to What does it mean to have a real relationship with God? There, cat's out of the bag. But there's so much more to say about that. A real relationship with God, if we listened to the parable, begins with humility and begins with honesty. It's honesty before God, and it's honesty that if we really catch it, we'll end up affecting the way we relate to other people. We'll be humble before them, and we'll be honest with them too. The parable that Jesus told was all about religion versus relationship. The Pharisee and the tax gatherer. The Pharisee wanted to be thought of as the guy who was the straight arrow, played by the book. But the problem was he was the legalist. He was the legalist who easily self-deluded himself into believing that all of his accomplishments, all of his keeping of the rules and the laws and the religion was going to lead to his salvation. He was fooled. In fact, what it did was it led him to arrogance. It led him to look at other people and think that he was somehow better suited for heaven than them because he was religious. It was a false belief. But it had entrenched itself in him. His religion was empty. On the other hand, we have the tax gatherer. Now, the funny thing about the tax gatherer is he knew he wasn't someone that anybody wanted to be around at all. He knew that he was derided and despised among other people. He knew no one found him attractive. There was no way that he could even begin to think that he could earn his salvation. Not any way at all. But in fact, the reality is, that was a huge advantage. Because to him, he recognized that he was a sinner that needed God's grace. And that's really the main point of this parable. And I encourage you not to miss that point. I want to focus on six things that we can say as we look at this parable today. Six things that you and I need to live. So we'll call them application points. And I don't think that we can afford to miss them. So John, if you can pop that thing back up. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is being honest with God allows us to see our need for Him. I don't know if you ever listened to the sayings of that great philosopher Yogi Berra, one-time catcher for the New York Yankees. One of his famous quotes is, "I've seen the bottom and it ain't so far away." And that is where we have to start in our understanding of God. We have to see the bottom and realize it ain't so far away. Got a couple of passages we need to look at that help us to understand that being honest with God allows us to see our need for Him. The first one is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. John, if you'll pop that next slide up. Paul wrote, he said, "As for you," and that means you and you and you and you and me, okay, all of us, okay, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and are the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His grateful love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." Even when. "It is by grace you've been saved." Bottom line, we have to see the bottom and realize it's not so far away. A couple more passages. First one from Romans 6:23. You've heard this. It's part of what we call the Roman road. If you've been in church, you've had someone at some time tell you and remind you, this tells us where we start. "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the bottom. But we don't have to stay there, because that's why Jesus Christ died. So we wouldn't have to stay at the bottom. In Romans 3:23, the next step in the Roman road, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We're all justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. So as we think about being honest with God, we realize that when we're honest with God, we realize we need Him. We are broke. In fact, just in the last couple of days, as I've listened to the radio whenever I'm traveling around with my son, he likes to listen to it louder than I do. But the songs that I'm hearing, several of them remind me that I'm broke. Not broke financially, but broke spiritually. And that I need forgiveness. I need grace. And the truth is, when God looks at our hearts and when He's looking at your heart, if you're willing to start where you have to start, you're broke too. That's where we start. It doesn't start anywhere else. It's got to start there. The next thing that I'd like to talk about for a few minutes is being honest with God is the beginning of the relationship that He wants to have with us. John 17:3, it's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. It's very simple. Jesus said, before He was taken that night to be arrested and beaten and flogged, He was praying in the garden. In the beginning of His prayer, He said this simple statement. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. That's simple, isn't it? There is no ritual to that. There is no facade to that. It's just knowing Jesus. It's just choosing to follow Jesus and desiring to be like Him and letting Him be the one who's in charge. It's really real simple. Being honest with God, that's where the relationship starts. If we can't be honest, where is the relationship? Who are we really not being honest with? We already know that God is God, right? So the only person who's deceived is us. Number three. Being honest with God strips us of the pretense of our religion. Honesty, pretense. Two can't exist in the same place, in the same person. We look at the Pharisee in the parable. The Pharisee in the parable was convinced of his own righteousness, convinced of his own superiority, convinced that all the things that he had done qualified him to be acceptable to God. But Jesus said, nothing could have been farther from the truth. Being honest with God won't allow us to see ourselves that way. Won't allow us to have pretense. Won't allow us to wear a facade and to be satisfied with it. The reality is, anytime we come together, anytime we gather together, and we are not honest with God and we are not honest with one another, we will always leave here unsatisfied. We can go through the motions. We can punch the clock. We can show up in our place, but we will not go away the people that God wants us to be. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. Paul said, "It's by grace that you've been saved, through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Pharisee, boasting. Tax collector, humiliated, humble. Anything God says, I'll do. Number four, being honest with God drives us to be people of holiness and grace. Dusty earlier was talking about a group of folk back in the New Testament time called Gnostics. There's a G before that. It's silent. They liked to believe that they could live any way they wanted to here, and they had this spiritual life somewhere else. So they had this special knowledge that qualified them to be the know-all, be-all spiritual experts. But then they would live their lives any way they wanted to. There was a disconnect. But the truth is, when we are honest with God, it will always drive us to be like Jesus. And Jesus was different. He was holy and He was a person of grace. We don't understand many times how those two things can possibly be a part of our character. Because see, we think holy means holy. We have to be better than somebody else. Our nose has to be up. Something else isn't as good as we would choose to be. And it may be our theology. It may be our practice. Whichever we choose to make the dividing line. Guys, can I encourage you? Stay away from anybody who wants to draw a line and say, "I'm better than you." Especially when it comes to Jesus. Because all they're trying to do is create a line with which they can then do this. And say, "I'm qualified and you're not. I can participate, you can't." I never saw Jesus doing that. But yet He was holy. He didn't sin. But yet He gave grace to people that didn't deserve it. You and I are to be like that too. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Words of Peter, walked with Jesus, one of Jesus' closest friends. Said, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Okay, we're acknowledging. We're close to the bob and it ain't so far away. We lived in ignorance. But now we don't. "Just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. That's not legalism. That's not legalism. It's just the truth. And He knows our hearts. Number five, being honest with God allows us to live in freedom. And believe me, that is what He wants for you and me. He sees our hearts. He wants us to be free. He wants us to have joy and abundant life. You can find it all through the New Testament. Everything Jesus said reinforced that truth. But He made a way so that we could have freedom, so that we could be honest and not have to deal with all that stuff that we try to keep carrying. You know this passage if you've been in church. 1 John 1:9. Somebody quote it for me. "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, We lie and do not live by the truth. Pharisees, you got problems. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Welcome, tax gatherers. You know who you are. You know what you need, and you're willing to receive it. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live in shame. We don't have to be afraid of our past. We don't have to walk in here and have secrets. We don't have to meet on the street and have secrets from one another. If we will deal with our sin the way Jesus tells us we need to deal with our sin, which is confess, repent, and then find Him and walk with Him, we won't have to worry about all the guilt, all the shame, and the mask that He doesn't want us to wear anyway. Number six. Being honest with God is safe. You can trust Jesus. That tax gatherer knew more of God than that Pharisee. Because that tax gatherer went to the public place of worship and did not mind being open and honest to God as he was there. Says he beat his breast, beating his chest. There was a physical expression of the contrition that was going on in the man. Now, I don't want you to lose this, but if you look in Luke, just a chapter or so later, there's a little guy named Zacchaeus who shows up in the story that, by the way, has something to do with why we call ourselves the Sycamore Church. He was a tax gatherer. And you know what old Zacchaeus did? He repented. He changed. He turned. He knew how close to the bottom he was, and he saw it wasn't so far away. So if Jesus is like this, and we can trust Him, how do we know? Well, let's look at a couple of examples. We usually trust our children with people who are trustworthy, right? Here in the gospel it says that Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And look at the next one. In Matthew 19, same gospel, said, "Then little children were brought to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them." Is that somebody that people trusted? Somebody that people knew wouldn't reject those children? Would care for them? Now think about this for a second. If He would do that and they would do that, isn't Jesus somebody that you and I can trust? Isn't He somebody that He already knows our hearts? Can't you trust your heart to Him? Can't you let Him deal with whatever you've got that's a secret? Can't you trust Him to help you and to minister to you whatever you're going through now that you feel like you can't tell other people about? You know, I share all this with you this morning. And I'm going to give you my rationale behind this. As we've turned the page, and Dusty, Dane, and I believe that God's leading us to kind of reconfigure, refocus, re-pursue a passionate vision as a people together. We have tried to call you to be all in. And the reality is, some of you need to be all in with Jesus before you can be all in with the Sycamore Church. I don't know who that is. But I know that we have to ask it. Because before you can be all in with what God's doing in the earth, you have to be all in with Him. He knows your heart. You have to bring your heart. You have to be humble. You have to say the bottom's not so far away. And you have to say, I need Him. And if you'll be willing to do that, to confess your sin, who you are, what's going on, then He will be faithful and righteous to forgive your sin, to give you grace, and to bring life. Got a few questions. There are no questions that I haven't really already dealt with, but I'm going to focus on them for a minute anyway. First one, are you being honest with God? Are you being honest with yourself? Three. Are you being honest with other people? When you gather, when you see other people you know are believers, are you putting on a perky face or are you just who you are? Number four. Where are you in your relationship to the Lord? Have you received Him? Do you really believe in Him? Does He hold your heart? Are you being honest? I'm going to end with something a little different. Forgive me. I'm a novice at doing this kind of stuff. Okay? You know I like videos. And I am a product of the history that I come from, to some degree. What I'm about to share with you, it is the words of a 1980s pop singer. And it has nothing to do with God. Except, if you listen to the words and you think, this is God speaking to me, it could be really powerful in your life. And the pictures that I'm going to have up there, they're not always that great. But they speak to the situations of life that many of us deal with. And the call of God, if you hear God's voice in this, can be just as strong as listening to a tax gatherer beat his chest and ask God for grace.
Search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. If you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. The way it seems to be so hard to give.
Would you bow with me? Lord, you speak in many different ways. And I acknowledge, Lord, that there's a good reality, good possibility, that there are people here that are listening to you that really didn't hear what I said. But Lord, what is important is that they are listening to you. Father, I pray that you'll bring us to the point of wanting to have honesty in our relationship with you, that we'll want to begin a relationship with you that is all in, where we hold nothing back, where we understand our great need for you. And if you're here this morning and you need this like you need a drink of water in a desert, I'm asking that you'll listen to God and that you'll respond to Him. Because He is waiting for you and waiting for me, desiring to give us so much, but it can only happen if we will understand our need. If you need Jesus to come and speak to your heart, you need a relationship with Him this morning. It just begins with acknowledging that you're a sinner, and that you want Him to come and bring you grace and mercy because He died on the cross for you. And if you are willing to take that step, He is willing to take a run and a leap to come find you. And today, if you need to pray that, you can simply ask God to come into your heart, because you know that you're broke. And for those of us who claim to know Jesus, who keep wearing masks, I encourage you to let the mask fall and to let Jesus be the Lord of your life instead of trying to be your own captain. Lord, come and speak to us. Help us with your clarity to show your light so that we can see ourselves as you see us, and that we can receive all that you have for us, so that we can be all in for now and for eternity. If you let God work in your heart and He's spoken to you today, there's a couple of ways you can respond to that. One, you can write on that card that you've got in your possession if you've got a bulletin. Let us know what God is speaking to you about and what we need to join with you and partner with you about in prayer. You might need to come and kneel up here at the front and just ask God to do a new thing in your heart. Whether it's coming to Him for the first time or whether it's asking Him to come and clean it out. You come and you respond. Life group leaders will be all around to pray with you. Dusty, Dane, and I will be up front to pray with you. You respond as God leads you to respond. Obey Him today.
Thank you.
approach your throne. My life no longer my own. I feel your love wash through my soul. I give you my life, my heart, all control. And I will serve you with all my heart. Nothing keep us apart. Flood my life with your spirit now. Make me whole. I will serve you with all my heart. Nothing keep us apart. Flood my life with your spirit now. Make me whole.
In the next few moments, if you have a card or an offering, there's a basket in the back, baskets up here, if you would take care of that. Well, if you feel like God has spoken today, pray that you kind of find a way to spread it around a little bit. What He's spoken to you about, what He's touched you about. Also, as we're going out, Stephen, what day are you getting on the plane? Stephen's getting on a plane to go north on Wednesday. And when he comes back, he's no longer going to be a single individual. So you be praying for Stephen this week as he goes up north and gets hitched, as we say here in the South. So you be praying for he and his bride-to-be through all of that. There'll be a week of great joy, Well, God has a lot in store for us. Pray that today was good for you. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to let you go. Let's bow. Lord God, we thank you for the way you speak, for your mercy and your grace and your love for us that is never ending. We bless you, and we ask your blessing on us as we go and you send us out into the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.